You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're number 3 here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang filling in for Paul. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Paul will be back tomorrow. Have I mentioned the entire country owes Kentucky an apology? Except for me, obviously, who picked Kentucky to beat Florida. Love you, Wildcats. I hope Mark Stoops and company are celebrating this week. Time now to take some more of your calls. I'm surprised we actually haven't had more Kentucky folks calling in over the last couple of hours. They're too busy celebrating, though, rightfully. So 855-242-7285 is the number. Let's go to Laura in Virginia. Laura, how's it going today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I am a huge Alabama fan. I live in Virginia, and you know what's in here in this early the South. We don't have a whole lot going on, but I love Alabama, and I'm so upset by that game on Saturday. I thought I would just lose my mind. You know, it's horrible. I can't believe my team played that badly. I cannot believe it. I just was so concerned about them, and I don't know what Coach Saban's got to do with them because he really needs to get on them and holler at them and do whatever and. You know, fuss at them and whatever. You know, that's just the way it is. It's just horrible. I was just so upset. I mean, I had to take a nerve pill how bad it was. And that's not like me, you know. I mean, not that kind of person, but it was horrible, you know.
Laura, I will tell you, we were at our game in Georgia watching it from the phones, and we were stressed.
Yeah, I can't stand Georgia. Let's not talk about Georgia. I hate Georgia. I hate them because they beat us last year. You know, I shouldn't say that because Kirby's a good guy, you know, but I mean, I understand that. They played well. Georgia's always going to be good, you know. I don't know what's going on with Alabama, but I know I'm really concerned about it, and I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know what's going to happen because we got some very hard games coming up between now and the end of the season. We really do, you know.
Hey, you got the win, though. We have to remember that, right?
You came away with the win. But 1 point? What? I mean, I'm my 60s now, and I know that after all these years, there should not be an Alabama team that gets by one daggone point. That's just not the way it's supposed to be going down. You know what I mean? Come on now, let's talk about it, Alisa, please. Come on. You know, Alabama should not be winning by just 1 point. They just shouldn't, you know?
I hear you. I
don't know. You know, I'm just so worried, and I just don't have know how to get over it. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, this is horrible here. This is just horrible. I hollered at my TV. I screamed. I hollered. I just kept saying, what the heck's going on? You know, I said, Coach Saban, I said, if I were in front of you, I would just tell you, where do you get these guys from? I mean, I don't think they're – I don't even know if they're – I mean, like, aren't most majority of them now sophomores or juniors? I think that's what there is with the team, right? And that's pretty much what's going on with them.
I think there's still a lot of questions about this team, right? We look at the offensive line, which was a question a season ago, and then you look at the amount of production that they lost in the wide receiver room over the last couple of years, and we knew that they were going to have to replace that room with some stars. Good news is you've got Bryce Young, and I have no reason to doubt Bryce for anything we've seen all season long. And I will say, you know, we talk about Coach Saban being the GOAT, right? He's the GOAT, the greatest of all time for a reason.
Exactly.
Anyone's going to get back.
The team didn't.
Yeah.
I know. Anyone gets back, he can do it. But, you know, he better do something with his kids because it seems like they got it in their head. I guess we don't have to play very, very hard. Well, you have to play hard for everybody. It's not just one team that comes along once a week or whatever. You got to play every week like that. And that's not what they did Saturday. When Texas came in there, they were like, when we got to Texas, they decided, well, we're going to lay it on these boys. And that's what they did. They almost pulled it out winning against them. I'm like, this is not the way it's supposed to be here. I mean, come on now. I was just really upset. I don't know what to say about it, Lisa. I really don't. Don't know.
Laura, good news is this weekend should be a lot less stressful for you with Louisiana Monroe coming to town. And I will say one last thought on this. You know, I've done a couple of Alabama games over the last few seasons, and you talk to Coach Saban, you talk to the staff about maintaining that motivation and what that looks like.
Right.
How do you keep guys who've won national championships and SEC championships ready to keep playing? And the same answer is said every single year. When you're Alabama, you get everybody's best best shot. Everyone wants to beat Alabama. It makes everyone's season. Look at what it did for Texas A&M a season ago. So you're getting everybody's best shot every single year. Texas did not want to get embarrassed in their own house, a couple years away from going to the SEC. I think in a couple of weeks, you'll look back on this and say, you know what? We got the win, and that's all that matters. We're going to get this thing turned around. Laura, thank you so much for the call. We're going to go back
Alyssa. You have a good day now.
I don't want Laura to be so stressed. We need to calm down and remember we're getting dubs. There's not there's other programs out there who are wishing that they could have just posted a win in week two. But trust me, I understand it. I was stressed for y'all too. Let's go to Taylor in Atlanta. Taylor, what's going on today?
Oh, a couple things here. Number one, a few of us females are really happy that you're not trying to be some kind of sex symbol, because we like the real female that's talking football. So keep up the good work, for one. Two things. Ohio State, the game that we were actually able to see, just did not look that seamless. We were expecting, like, a huge offense to come out. And when one guy went out, I was just curious about their depth. Do they have people maybe that they're redshirting that they're just not bringing out? Because we just didn't really see anybody really substitute that made them look like the powerhouse, you know, to enable them to be in the top three.
Sure. You know, for those who don't keep up with Ohio State, as they are outside of the SEC, they get a win over Arkansas State this past weekend, 45-12, the week before they opened up the season with a win over Notre Dame. I think the answer to that question is, obviously, when you have these Arkansas State, Ohio State games in week two, right? You want to get some of those younger guys in. We saw that with Georgia. We see that with games or teams, I should say, rather, across the SEC as far as getting some of those depth guys reps. But if there are guys waiting in the wings who are better than starters, that's probably not the case with Ryan Day, right? The best talent is going to be on the field because these guys know what's at stake. Ohio State's a team that has expectations of winning a national championship and getting back to the college football playoff at this point. I will say, you know, I haven't been up there to Columbus. I haven't talked to the staff, but I know I've talked about it on the show today. I was at Georgia this past weekend, and Kirby Smart and those defensive guys were talking about Malachi Starks, Mykel Williams, true freshmen who have stepped up into major playing time roles for this Georgia defense. And it was because they were talented, but it was also because they're going, yeah, we're trying to replace this guy named Trayvon Walker and all of those guys who went to the NFL draft a season ago. So you better be ready from a depth perspective. I think we'll learn more about Ohio State as the season goes on, especially because Notre Dame, after what happened this past weekend, I don't really know what Notre Dame looks like. I don't think many people know what Notre Dame is truly going to look like. So again, as we get into conference play, I think we'll have a better idea of where Ohio State falls, but I do expect them, a program led by Ryan Day that has had a lot of success over the last couple of seasons, I would expect them to be in the conversation for a while at least. Let's go to CJ in Virginia. CJ, what's on your mind?
Hey, Alyssa, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I want to pick up on what I-Man was talking about, agree with him, but also I think it was Paul from Tennessee talking about officiating. I want to give a shout-out to my future SEC brethren in Texas. I mean, they're almost part of the league now. Yes, your eyes did not deceive you. You won that game. But you experienced what we've experienced a lot in the SEC through the years, and that is the officials throwing the game for Alabama. It was so painfully obvious. They were the most penalized or whatever, and they deserved every one. And honestly, they needed about three or four more crucial penalties against them that obviously, you know, I can go back to early on in the game, the missed pass interference in the end zone would have given them a first and goal on the two. Didn't call it. It was so obvious. That's one. Okay, everybody misses one. That's fine. Another one, the face mask that would have given Texas a first and goal inside the five. Again, mysteriously wasn't called. And on Bryce Young's Superman run, they were blatantly holding. Even the announcers, you know, and the other announced that. And also, the most glaring thing, the joke of the day, the play I-Man was talking about, it's not so much that they missed or they didn't call safety. It's true. It's on closer look, you could see, you know, Bryce Young was on top of the player. So, yeah, it wasn't. But the thing that was glaring was they called against Texas, roughing the passer with targeting, when the guy didn't even touch him. He literally barely touched him. And they had to come up with this convoluted retract because they knew the whole world was looking at him. And it was so blatantly. I mean, the game, Texas won that game. And, I mean, the calls were just so, so awful. So, yeah, Texas, congratulations. I'm sorry for the bitter, still a loss you had to experience because of the officiating. It was just a joke. And, you know, I mean, I always hear about, from all these Alabama people, all the five stars they have. I mean, I guess they need to send his operatives out and give more money to try to snatch a few more five stars. Maybe it takes 55 five stars and not 50 to dominate like we're told they're supposed to be dominating. That was my biggest takeaway from that game. They got robbed. But anyway, Texas A&M, the score speaks for itself. I mean, come on. You know, that App State team, they allowed over 60 points scored against them to North Carolina. And then, you know, there they are at home at Kyle Field, and they can't score but one offensive touchdown. But the Alabama game was something else. So anyway, just the chaos of college football and the fire and so anyway, that's just some of my points I just had to bring up. And you know, I was getting a lot of heat being an LSU fan for Brian Kelly. Notre Dame hasn't won a game since Brian Kelly left, so maybe they'll leave Brian Kelly alone. I had to talk to Paul. I got cut off at the end there, but respond to him about some of the decisions Brian Kelly made. I believe my man Brian Kelly, and I think we could do quite well. But anyway, that's kind of my thoughts, so I appreciate you listening.
Well, CJ, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, I think the Texas-Alabama game and the aftershocks, if you will, bode well for a very exciting future rivalry in the SEC. By the way, I will just leave it at saying that it was a Big 12 officiating crew being there in Austin, Texas. We do have to take a break here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. When we come back, we'll have a guest joining us, Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News, to talk more about that Bama-Texas game and what we need to see from the Tide going into this weekend.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, Alyssa Lang here in for Paul, who will be back on Tuesday. We've been talking a lot about Alabama's win over Texas out in Austin, a one-point win. It was heart-stopping, it was hot, it was sweaty, and I know a lot of Bama fans would like to move on but are still stressed out over what happened on Saturday. So with that, let's welcome in Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News to talk more about what went down on Saturday. Chase, I know you were there, so let's start with this. A lot of fans have been calling in today asking, where does Nick Saban go from here? How does he fix this? What was his demeanor? What was the emotion like when he met with the media after that game was over?
It was pretty much a flat line, Alyssa, like it usually is with Nick Saban. He's pretty monotone unless he gets on a rant, which didn't happen. But I will tell you that there's going to be a lot of emphasis, I think, on fundamentals this week. I wrote a little something about that immediately after the news conference. Separating things that they can definitely clean up and clean up quickly, maybe versus some other things that could be long-term issues. Penalties, for instance, that's something you can clean up. Missed tackles is something you can clean up. Whether or not the wide receivers can get open against the best defenses in the SEC, that's something that you might have to figure out a way to work around. That's really not a cleanup issue. So there's a couple of different kinds of problems that they're facing, and in the short term, they've just got to clean up the ones they can deal with first.
You mentioned a few of those problems, a few of those questions. What, in your opinion, is the most pressing one? Is it the offensive line? Is it the question of weapons on the perimeter of the football field? Is it the penalties, the false starts? Where do you rank all of these?
That's a great question. For me, the wide receivers are probably at the top of the list, and the offensive line is really close behind. And a month from now, if you ask me the same question, I might reverse it. But with the lack of separation that the receivers got against Texas, that's got to be concerning, because if you can't get open, it doesn't matter how much time you have in the pocket, right? And so they've got to address that issue. You know, they've got a couple of wide receivers who haven't been able to play a lot that they're hoping to get worked back into the lineup at some point. JoJo Earl, a guy who helped them a bit of it last year as a freshman, would be one among those. But they've got to get answers from those, the healthy ones, right now as quickly as possible. So that to me is probably at the top of the list. The wide receivers only had three catches in the first three quarters of the game. They came alive in the fourth quarter when they had to pull out the win. But for the first three quarters, the whole offense for Alabama really just boiled down to Jace McClellan's 81-yard touchdown run and some pretty effective short passes to Jahmyr Gibbs. And that was about it until the fourth quarter.
Bryce Young tends to be a bright spot for this team. He certainly was deep into this game, sacked twice, pressured on 12 dropbacks. What did Coach Saban say about where Bryce needs to go from here and how they'll do a better job of helping him out and protecting him?
Yeah, I think pass protection is a key issue for sure, especially at the tackle position. Although up and down the offensive line, there were issues at times. Part of it is you've got to run the ball a little bit better on early downs so that Bryce Young and cut the penalties down so that Bryce Young is not sitting in second and nine and third and 11 in these tough down and distance situations where it's an obvious pass. And when it's an obvious pass, then pass rushers are going to tee off. They're not going to respect the run quite as much. So that falls into it too. But I don't get the sense from Saban that he feels like Young himself needs to play a whole lot better. He's a returning Heisman Trophy winner. If they clean up things around him, I think his effectiveness will go right along with that. But that said, the game at Texas was arguably his the least effective game of his career. I thought he was hesitant at times. He did get pressured at times, as you mentioned, Alyssa, but other times he had time in the pocket and just had to keep holding the ball because there wasn't somebody open that he needed.
We're talking with Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. We've got Louisiana Monroe coming to Tuscaloosa now this Saturday, and these games tend to be an opportunity for Coach Saban to challenge guys to be perfect, to be better, to step up in those missed opportunities. What do you think the message will be this week, and what do you think Coach Saban's going to harp on ahead of Saturday?
Well, obviously, Alabama can't overlook anybody after what happened in Austin, and the tendency, of course, will be to do that. I'm sure Alabama is going to be a huge favorite in this game. I haven't seen what the opening spread is yet, but they'll be monster favorites once again, despite what happened against the Longhorns. And Nick Saban's going to be, you know, looking for he's going to be looking for, like you said, perfection or close to it for four quarters. And you know, against ULM, sometimes players have a hard time getting up for a game like that. But, you know, this is a team that beat Alabama 15 years ago. The players were, as Saban noted today, they were probably only 6 or 7 years old at the time. But I promise you, in that football building this year, there's going to be a couple of reminders of that game, whether it's on a bulletin board or mentioned in a meeting.
Seems like there should be no shortage of motivation going into this season. Chase, before we let you go, to kind of help out everyone who's been calling today, panicking about the rest of the season, as you look past Louisiana Monroe and Alabama getting into conference games, looking at some of these talented teams who have stepped up over the last couple of games and seasons, Arkansas being one. Obviously, A&M is a game that everyone has circled despite what A&M has looked like over the last 2 weeks. Where do you fall as far as Alabama's confidence level now within the SEC?
I don't know that the team's confidence has taken a blow here with this game against Texas. Last year when they got into conference play, they had a really tight one in Gainesville, only beat Florida by, I think, 2 points last year, and ended up in the national championship game. And so to have some September hiccups, excuse me, something got in my throat as soon as I said the word hiccup. To have some hiccups in early September isn't uncommon, even for really good teams. It's just a question of improving and getting to a place where you're better in October. You're even better than that in November, and you're playing as best as a team can play when it matters, when you get to rivalry games and conference championship games, et cetera.
Well, Chase, thank you for the time. I know you had a stressful weekend. We both had flat tires, apparently, on our rental cars going to our said game. So I know how terrible that is. So thank you so much for making some time for us today.
Thanks, Alyssa.
That was Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. Yeah, somebody asked me not long ago how I coordinate the private jet to get me to my games. And I said, sir, if you think that I'm getting – I think that's for Jordan Rogers and Paul Feinbaum only. I don't think I'm getting on the private jet. No, I had a flat tire in my rental car on the side of the road, had to get it towed, go back, get – yeah, it was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. But we made it to Athens, week three rolling on here in the SEC. Our show rolls on as well. We do have to take a break. When we come back, more of your calls coming up next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285 is the number as we welcome you back in to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang here with you, sitting in for Paul. He'll be back tomorrow. Let's take some more of your calls. Larry from Shelby is on the line. Larry, how's it going?
Hey, now. How's it going?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind today?
Oh, man, that was football. You know, I heard our man, the jackass, call in. You know, it ain't his team, man. You know, I mean, worry about Auburn, and he has got a lot of problems worrying about Auburn. But he's a person that can't even name his coach, so that's how much he knows about football. But the penalties, you know, yeah. How many more did Alabama need, man? I mean, in Texas, how many chances did they have to score? And they didn't. I mean, put that on Texas. Hey, they got a field goal block. They missed another field goal. That's on them. Well, don't whine, call in the show, and act like a little titty baby and whine. Oh, my team didn't get penalized. That's just silly, and it's not being a grown man. Now you mad up, boy. You listen. Yeah.
That was not me, by the way. That was our sound effects, not
Roll Tide. Yeah, baby.
Larry, thank you so much for the call. I mean, it doesn't matter. Week two, week zero, middle of July, nothing like Auburn and Alabama fans fighting with each other any time of year. I love it, at least. Augie is in New Orleans. Augie, how's it going today?
It's going okay, Alyssa, but I'm real worried about Alabama. We had ourselves a football game, and we lucky to get out of Austin with that one-point victory. I'm telling you, Bryce Young doesn't look like he was the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback to me. Did he look like that to you? And I tell you one thing, he ain't going to win it again this year. Now, one game ain't going to win you the Heisman, but it sure will lose you it. And as far as I'm concerned, Will Anderson, he just lost himself the Heisman there. I mean, we just could not do anything. Our boys couldn't block. I mean, the only thing we did was knock out that quarterback, and I thought that was going to be the changing point of the game. But then they put in their second-string quarterback. We wrangle him down, and he gets a gimpy ankle, and we still having trouble with them Texas teams. Now, I thank the Lord that them Big 12 officials were calling that game, because if it was a Big 10 and they called it right, we'd have lost that game. But I tell you one thing, we did win. We won that game. And like Nick said, you know, he was poking fun at old Jimbo when he was talking about teams that predicted to win by big points and didn't. That was a little dig at Jimbo, if you didn't know. But anyway, we won. So we 1 point better than Texas. And that's where we should be. And I'm happy for that. But, boy, I'm worried, Alyssa. I don't know about you, but what do you think?
Augie, if I didn't know any better, it sounds to me like you're a Bama fan these days.
Telling you, because the SEC is riding on Bama, because look at LSU. Look what we've undid to Southern. Poor Southern. They showed up and got themselves a big check and brought their band, and that was good. But I'm not so sure we're going to have the same result this weekend when we play Mississippi State. What you think about that? Because I think Mississippi State – got a good team.
I was going to say, I think Mississippi State is one of the most underrated teams in the SEC right now. I'll throw in the country, too. I was going to ask you, what are your feelings right now on Brian Kelly and the boys 2 games in after a big win against Southern, but obviously we're not going to learn much about LSU against Southern.
Well, I think if Brian Kelly, I'll have to go back to my LSU fan voice.
The other Brian one was Kelly, great. I'll say that. It was great.
I learned a lot from my Bama friends. I got to get that diction down just right. But if Brian Kelly would have practiced against the Golden Band from Tigerland, it would have been a more competitive game, because Southern couldn't do anything right. You know, the week before, Southern played an NAIA school and beat them by like 80 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like not even playing a good high school team. That's like playing a JV team. So Southern did themselves no favors by that. But the jury's still out in LSU. The question really is, how good is Florida State? Because if they beat us by one, are they really any good? And who knows? I think LSU improved somewhat because we didn't drop any punts this weekend. Like last time we played, we dropped 2 punts. So I don't know. This week's going to tell a lot about where LSU is, and also is Mississippi State who we think they are. Because State could be the next best team in the West. Although, right now, I got to say it's Arkansas. And as far as Kentucky goes, Kentucky proved a lot to me. But watch out. I think the 2 best teams in the East are Georgia and Tennessee. Mm. Tennessee played a hell of a game against a Pitt team that may fall down after last week, but they were hot. So be on the lookout for Tennessee, Georgia, and then the West, Alabama, State, and Arkansas. Those are the 3. And as far as old Dumbo Fisher, thank God we didn't hire him in Baton Rouge. I did not want that guy, and he is proving everything that I thought he was. Thanks, Alyssa.
Well, Augie, thank you as always for calling. I think he made a great point there in ripping through some of these teams and what we have and haven't seen from some of these squads, right? We're approaching that time in the season where we're really going to start to learn about the identities of some of these teams. Are they contenders? Are they pretenders? I look at the Georgia Bulldogs again, two cakewalks essentially to start the season. We didn't think Oregon was going to be a cakewalk, but they were. When you go back and look at the game and you look at the scoreboard, going on the road in the SEC to an SEC East rival this upcoming weekend, Kirby Smart's talked a lot about facing adversity. I would imagine in some way they're going to face some sort of adversity in that raucous environment there at Williams-Brice Stadium, as will many other teams. Mention LSU, Mississippi State. We're going to learn a lot about both of those squads as well, how LSU bounces back. Is State's offense as legit as it's looked through the first two seasons? So week three, I think, is primed to tell us a lot. Let's go to Matt in Arizona. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Alyssa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
You mentioned earlier about not getting a lot of calls yet from Kentucky fans, you know, looking to gloat about the Florida victory. Not that I am a Kentucky fan, but I am a big fan of Mark Stoops. And when you had Barrett Solly on earlier, he kind of expressed skepticism over whether Stoops would be interested in the Nebraska job if they reached out to him. And I know he talks about it's not really, no coach really bows at the altar of Nebraska football anymore, but that's still a top 20 brand and job in college football, if you ask me. And, you know, he talks about not wanting to leave the SEC. Did he see the 20-car pileup that was the Big Ten West this weekend with Iowa, Northwestern, and Wisconsin all laying eggs at home? I mean, that is an eminently winnable division. I mean, how often, you know, who really thinks that Kentucky is going to consistently beat Georgia over the next decade? I think Josh Heupel is starting to restore Tennessee to prominence. You've got Florida, you know, working with Billy Napier. So I just think that if you're looking at the future for Mark Stoops, I mean, and the money that the Big Ten is making with this new media rights deal that kicks in next year, north of $1 billion. I mean, I think that's something that he's really got to consider. And I think Nebraska still is a great job. And even though they lost their identity moving to the Big Ten, he recruits exceptionally well, especially in the Midwest. And if there's a guy who can really turn that program around and revive it, I think Mark could be the guy.
It's going to be a conversation we have, certainly, it sounds like, according to like what you said, what Barrett Salee told us earlier in the show. I would challenge this, though. I think he said something along the lines of, well, is Kentucky ever going to beat Georgia? And let me get this out there. I think Georgia is far and away the best team in the SEC East at this point. And I know there were questions about that going into the season. I think right now they look far and away the best team in the SEC at this point. But 10 years ago, we would have said the same thing. Well, who are we to think Kentucky's going to beat Florida? Who are we going to think that Kentucky's going to go into the swamp and beat Florida or beat them back to back for the first time since the late 70s? And Mark Stoops has done that. So that's what I keep going back to, right? Is Stoops has built this brand in Lexington now after this win last weekend, as far as not wanting to face this Kentucky team. If you don't want to run into a potential buzzsaw to ruin your season, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think he's built something that is his brand. He has his fingerprints all over this program. They love him in Lexington. As Barrett said, you couldn't blame him, though, if he wants to use it maybe to get some more money if Nebraska comes calling. But he'll be a name, I think, that gets tossed around a lot.
Well, one more. When Jimbo Fisher, when A&M inevitably loses to UMass in November, they can just Nebraska can hand the program over to the biggest fraud in all of college sports. You know, A&M football reminds me of that guy from high school who we all knew, you know, had all the, you know, rich family, had all the cool toys, wanted to hang out with the popular kids, but it's just not going to happen. That's not their brand, and that's never who they've been. They can try to convince themselves and lie to themselves all they want, think that they're a top 10 college football program, and it's just not going to happen. It's just the reality of the situation.
It's definitely going to be an interesting next few weeks out there in College Station. I laughed when you said they'd lose to UMass, but at this point, who knows what Texas A&M is going to look like? I think based off of what we've seen so far, I would have a hard time picking them against Miami, and I think a lot of Aggie fans feel the same way going into this weekend. Should they win that game based off of the expectations and everything we've been talking about this team? Sure. Will they, based on what we've seen? I think you're silly to think that A&M is going to go in there and blow out Miami in College Station. We'll see, though. Maybe Jimbo will be able to get his guys together over the next 5 days. We'll take more of your calls coming up after this next break. We'll be right back here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in, this is the Paul Feinbaum Show. Alyssa Lang here filling in for Paul, who will be back tomorrow, I promise. Last segment of the hour here, 855-242-7285 is the number. Give us a call. What's on your mind? You need a therapy session? You want to talk some smack? Are you still celebrating your team getting a big-time win in week two? I want to hear all of it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Gerald is in Georgia. Gerald, what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Do we have Gerald?
Alyssa, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for calling.
First time ever. I've watched this show forever and never called. So I wanted to just say a couple things. First of all, I have a question. Where would Alabama be without Bryce Young? I mean, honestly, what I saw Saturday, and I'm a Georgia guy, my hat's off to the guy. He saved them in that game. He saved them last year against Auburn. They've got some issues over there. That offensive line, if they don't shore it up, he's not going to make it through the season the way he got hit the other day. But Bryce Young is clearly a miracle worker. I couldn't believe the plays he made to save that game Saturday.
There's a reason he won the Heisman Trophy a season ago, right? I'm
yeah,
with
no
you.
Kidding.
I mean, he's an incredible football player. And we said the same thing watching the game wind down when we were in Athens this past weekend. We said, well, they've got Bryce Young, so they got to win the football game, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that last scramble where he ducked and missed the sack was amazing. But I guess the second thing, I won't take too much more time, is I used to watch this show for the callers and the entertainment they provided. I'm starting to watch it for the media and the spin that they do put on Alabama from time to time. And your former show, Thinking Out Loud, you have two new guys. This gets second season. First of all, they look like they should own a craft brewery, not be talking football. And last week, the spin was, after Georgia annihilated Oregon and Alabama beat Utah State, was Utah State was a better team than Oregon. And this past weekend, Oregon beats a lesser opponent badly. And guess what? Utah State got beat by Weber State. So I want your Thinking Out Loud guys to retract what they said, because that was ludicrous from day one. But it was just the spin to kind of diminish Georgia and elevate Alabama. And, you know, you just need people that know football. And like when you were on that show with Marcus and McElroy, those boys played the game, but we got two guys out here just spouting off, and to say that kind of thing last week was ludicrous, and this week it came to roost, or this past weekend. So kind of irritated me that there was a spin put on that ridiculous. I get Alabama's good. They deserve to be where they are, but, you know, let's give credit where credit's due, and to say that Utah State was better than Oregon was the most ridiculous comment I've heard in a long time. So I just wanted to share that, and I feel better getting that off my chest.
Well, I'm glad that this has been a space for you to have some therapy on this afternoon. I will say we're going to have those guys on this show coming up in just a few minutes, so we can ask them about that for you. I didn't exactly see that take, but I think I'm with you in the sense that especially through the first few weeks, I do feel that Georgia is getting overlooked in the performances that they've put on because we go into the season, we talk about the Bryce Youngs and the Will Andersons and the Dallas Turners for Alabama, and there's this star power, right? And as much as Stetson Bennett has proved himself, there's still this narrative, and I disagree with it. There's still this, oh, well, the walk-on. Like, it's not the sexy name, despite the fact that Georgia's been getting things done week in and week out. Also, the fact that they had some younger names on that team that I think a lot of people are going to know by the end of the season. But I'm with you. I think Georgia needs to have a little bit more love at this point in the season, and we'll see what the TOL guys have to say coming up in just a few minutes. We've got time for one more quick call. Eddie is in Georgia. Eddie, what do you want to talk about today?
Roll Tide, roll, even though it's won by 1 point, and them officials, I don't think they'll be doing a ball game this weekend, because if they are doing a ball game, the Big 12 is going to be alright. And I'm looking at Alabama's schedule the rest of the year: at Arkansas, at Tennessee, at LSU, at Mississippi, and if Mississippi State improves the way they're improving, this could be a bad year for Alabama. So let's praise the Lord for Bryce Young, all I got to say. And Will Anderson, his worst critics are his sisters, and I wonder what his sisters are said to him Saturday night after the ball game. Two offsides and that stupid personal foul penalty that could have cost us the ball game. Will Anderson, you won't see New York this year. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll we'll see what Bama looks like here come week three. We're up against a break, so I got to let you go, Eddie. But just remember, Bama was in a rebuilding year a season ago, and they still made it to the national championship. They didn't win it, but they made it all the way there. So I'm just saying, we'll be right back.